All right, so last night the Dodgers start off the season in the right way. 8-1, a win at Dodger Stadium over the evil, hated, bike-stealing Giants. Clayton Kershaw was scratched before the game, suffered a back injury in the weight room on Tuesday, and he could be back, according to Dave Roberts, as soon as next weekend against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Dustin May, great in a spot start. He's got a killer slider and hits 100 on the fastball. Mookie Betts, first hit as a Dodger in the seventh inning, scored the go-ahead run. Do we have that moment last night?
Slow roller, Betts coming home, sliding in, safe! Mookie Betts gets that left hand in, and that base running intelligence gives it a 2-1 Dodger lead.
It's about that jump, something that you practice and a lot of players take for granted. Mookie Betts does not take for granted. But watch Mookie, always keeps his feet moving, slides to the outside part, he's in there safe.
Fantastic slide to score that run on the fielder's choice. And tonight, Dodgers in action again against the Giants. It'll be Tyler Anderson, a lefty for the Giants versus Ross Stripling. That means Mookie Betts moves to the leadoff spot. It appears as though when they face a right-hander, it will be a left-hander leading off and Mookie batting second. And when they face a left-hander, it'll be Mookie leading off and a left-hander batting second. Last night, the leadoff guy was Max Muncy. But they're trying to go left-right through the entire lineup, and they were successfully able to do that last night. It puts pressure on the opponent's bullpen because now a pitcher's got to come in and face at least three batters or finish an inning. So you can't bring in a lefty specialist to face just a lefty. He's got to face more than just a left-hander, and Dave Roberts isn't giving anybody three lefties in a row or three righties in a row to be able to bring in a perfect bullpen arm. So we got that going on. Last night during the game, John, Jock Peterson hit a ground ball and yelled the F word.
Twice, I think.
Then when he got to first base and he was called out, he yelled the F word again. And it was loud and clear and unmistakable. So I tweeted out earlier today, and I got hammered for it, but I'll read you the tweet. The tweet said, Jock drops two F-bombs last night at Dodger Stadium. Should MLB try to create an obscenity rule? Can we go all year with players shouting F-bombs? What do you think?
Of course we can go all year with players shouting F-bombs. It's up for the player. It's not good for their personal brands, but, I mean, you say the F-word all the time.
I do. So I am not offended. I don't get offended by the F word. The F word is one of the most useful words in my vocabulary. I can use it as a noun, verb, adjective, adverb. It's an all-purpose word. Now, what I never know is, because I'm not a dad and never will be a dad, I never actually wanted to be a dad. I wonder what if dad sits down with fourth grade Timmy last night and watches the game, and they hear Jock Peterson yell the F word, what's the reaction?
The kids, how old's the kid in this scenario?
Fourth grade Timmy.
Fourth grade Timmy has already heard the F word.
So it doesn't matter.
It's a matter of he decides to use it. For example, Michael Thompson doesn't cuss.
Correct.
Ever. I think he told me he's used the F word once in his life. But he just doesn't do it, but he hears it all the time. I don't think he's offended by it. He just chooses not to make it part of his vocabulary. So I think that if I was the parent of fourth grade Timmy, I would just explain to him, look, some people like using those words and other people don't. In our family, we don't use them. So don't use them. I don't think that should Major League Baseball make a rule? You're like me. You're a libertarian. You don't want more rules.
I don't. All I was doing is throwing it out there because I'm interested. I'm right. Interested. Yeah. By the way, my follow-up tweet was...
The answer to the question is no.
My follow-up tweet was, just to be clear, I'm not offended. The F word is the most useful word in my vocabulary. I'm not a parent. Don't know how a dad feels when he's watching a game with his kid. Just being honest. I don't know. Now, to me, I don't think you can take the raw emotion, the raw passion out of the game, and we're going to hear stuff. My question for you is, as somebody who did a lot of games and still does games, didn't they have to do games on 7-second delay for a while?
Adam, we still do, don't we?
Well, yeah, no, we're on a 20-second delay.
Yeah, I think we still do. So, and, you know, by the way, Mace, when I got in trouble and when Shaq cussed at me at in that postgame interview,
right,
we weren't on a delay, and right after that we added one at KCAL. That was the reason we added it, because you can be fined. Whoever owns the broadcast license can be fined if those words go out over the air.
Right. So you had a broadcast license. This is cable. So it's a different animal. It's not governed by the FCC.
Yeah. I don't think there should be a rule. Now, I did see an opportunity for a rule last night that had nothing to do with language.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I, again, I'm not for new rules, but I think we may need one here. I think the Giants found a loophole. Did you watch the whole game?
Yes.
Okay. In the first inning, the Giants were up, one out. Mike Yastrzemski was a runner on first base, and Pablo Sandoval, there's one out. Pablo Sandoval hit a sure double play ball to Kike Hernandez.
Right.
Sandoval's the slowest runner in the major league.
It's unbelievable. I mean, he is the fat panda.
Right. So, but Yastrzemski seemed to let the ground ball hit him, meaning he was running from first to second. And he did this weird, like, scissor kick with his legs.
He tried to get hit by the ball.
I think so. I mean, yeah. I'm sure he wouldn't admit it. But as soon as he was hit by the ball, the rule is Yastrzemski's out, the ball is now dead, and Sandoval ends up on first. As a matter of fact, it scored as a hit for Sandoval.
Yes.
He was going to be doubled up for sure.
Yeah.
Should there be a rule that allows the umpire to say, oh, wait a minute, Yastrzemski intentionally let himself get hit to stay out of the double play, you're both out? Because right now that mechanism doesn't exist.
It does not exist. This is a small problem in search of a rule. I can't think of...
So it'd be an easy rule. Just put in a rule that says umpire's discretion. If a runner intentionally allows himself to get hit with the ball, then the umpire has the option to call both people out.
Okay, so for me, I was really impressed by Yastrzemski.
Me too.
Able to do it. I mean, it was really. He did jump in the air. I personally think he jumped in the air in order to get hit.
Eduardo Perez was doing the game, and he caught it right away.
Yeah.
He said Yastrzemski did a really smart thing there.
But I thought it was just a nice play. I wouldn't invent a rule for it.
See, there's a very famous play, and Adam, if you do a little dig in here, you can actually find the sound of Tommy Lasorda, who was mic'd for the World Series. It was either the 77 or the 81 World Series, Dodgers-Yankees, game was at Yankee Stadium. There was a runner on first base, and the Yankees hit a sure double play ball to shortstop. And so the Dodgers touched second base for one out and then threw the ball to first to Garvey, which would have been the second out. But Reggie Jackson was the runner, and he threw his hip into the ball. Like, you can clearly see Reggie Jackson swing his hip to the right like he's dancing. The ball hits him. I can't remember if Russell or Lopes threw it. The ball hits Reggie Jackson, and then the runner, instead of being out, gets awarded second base because the ball went into the dugout. Now, and Lasorda was furious. He came out and he goes, he can't do that. That's runner's interference. You have to call that. And the umpire said, no, he was just running in the base. He was in the baseline. I can't call runner's interference
sure.
when he's in the baseline. And Lasorda said, you absolutely can. He threw his hip into the ball.
Yep.
But basically, because there was no rule, they gave that guy second base.
Yep.
And so I think that there should be something called umpire's discretion where it says, wait a minute, Reggie Jackson just pulled a fast one. He threw his hip into the ball, and you know how mad Lasorda used to get? He was boiling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he just went, this is the World Series. He threw his hip into that ball. You got to call him out. And the umpire said, he was in the baseline. I can't do anything. Yastrzemski basically was in the baseline. He scissor kicked, got hit with the ball. And it turns out that Sandoval didn't come home to score. But that,
right.
if the game was more important, and now I guess you have to say all games are important because they mean three wins.
Yeah.
I think the umpire – now, that's where I would add a rule. I wouldn't add a rule for Jock Peterson using the F-word. I think he can use the F-word as much as he wants.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, he's
not too.
He's not going to get very many commercial endorsements if he keeps yelling the F-word, but that's –
Yeah, but you know what? I honestly think that can be part of your brand. By the way, I think it's going to – we're going to hear it in the NBA. We're going to hear it in NBA games.
Right. Okay, so I just thought of it. I just thought of how you can use it in a brand.
Okay.
So let's say you represent a company that – I don't even know what a company that sells this, but what company would sell hot sauce?
Tabasco.
Okay, so Tabasco. And let's say Jock Peterson and Cody Bellinger are sitting in the dugout.
Yep.
And what would you put Tabasco on? Would you put it on wings?
Chili, wings,
okay.
Yeah.
So let's say Jock Peterson is eating a wing and Bellinger puts some Tabasco on and says, hey, you should try this. And Peterson just goes on an F-bomb tirade about how hot it is. And then at the end, you're beeping it out like beep, 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 beep. And then you have an announcer come in and say, Tabasco, indescribably hot. And that's your ad. What do you think?
I would just say Tabasco real effing hot.
Right. That's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally
sure.
Works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't bother me. Wondered if it bothered other people. According to my Twitter timeline, it's a boomer tweet and don't worry about it, Grandpa. And I say to you people, screw you. Actually, no. I say F you. How about that? All right, coming up next for you, John, friendship. I've got a story of a great, deep, meaningful friendship.
Okay.
That's next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, John, while we're at it, I know you got something and I got something. I want to get a three-team parlay down for tonight. So somebody write this down for Lindsay. I'm going to take the Dodgers, Ross Stripling, over the Giants. I'm going to take San Diego, Chris Paddock, over Arizona and Madison Bumgarner. And I am going to do it. I'm going to bet on the Houston Astros, Verlander, over Seattle and Marco Gonzalez.
Bet on the
so that's
Astros.
That's my three-team parlay. I want to win mythical money. I want to win my mythical money.
How much money are you betting on this
parlay? $1,000 for a $6,000 payoff.
Yeah, you get 6-1. I can't believe you're betting on the Astros. Some things are more important than winning money.
Listen to who's
Mace,
talking.
Dodgers, Astros, and who?
Dodgers, Astros, and Padres.
Okay.
All right. What's so, John, you found what we were just talking about.
Yeah, but I don't think Adam has it ready yet.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
Mace,
John,
what's the wager on the three-team parlay?
$1,000, three-team parlay.
Got it.
Dodgers, Padres, Houston. By the way, we've got Angels A's coming up for you at 6:30 tonight. It's Frankie Montas, who was formerly in the Dodgers organization, has emerged as an ace for the A's versus Andrew Heaney for the Angels tonight. So we'll have that game for you a little bit later on. All right, John, friendship. So these two guys, friends for many, many years. His name is Stan Cook.
Okay.
And Bob Johnson. Stan Cook and Bob Johnson.
Stan and Bob.
So years ago, when they first introduced the Powerball to the state of Wisconsin, Stan made a promise that he would split whatever he won, if he ever won, halfway. So I'm going to give you half of what I win, and vice versa. So this week, he won. Stan won $22 million in the Powerball. He immediately shared it with Bob.
Really? And even though Bob didn't buy the ticket?
Even though Bob didn't buy the ticket, he shared the money. To me, that is a sign of a deep and abiding friendship. Don't you agree?
To me, that is the sign of an idiot. Wait a minute. If you and I go buy, like we send Funchess or Lindsay or somebody comes by the studio and says, and this has happened before, says, hey, we're buying lotto tickets. You guys won in. We're going to buy
right.
$50 worth of lottery tickets, and we each throw in $10. And let's say none of those tickets cash. And then a year later, even though we didn't contribute, the same person, like let's say it's Alyssa, and she hits the lottery, she's under no obligation to share it with us losers.
Right,
we didn't
but
give her money.
This was a handshake deal. Bob and Stan shook hands, and they said, look, if one of us ever wins, we'll split it. Now, you're saying if you were Stan, you wouldn't have split that $22 million.
Well,
you would have welched on the handshake deal you had.
I would have had to ask the terms of the handshake deal. So, in other words,
what it is. Shook hands, both promised that they'd give half of their prize money to the other man if they ever won the lottery.
Regardless of the circumstances of the ticket.
Correct.
All right, now let me ask you this. Who won, Stan or Bob?
Stan.
Okay. If Stan would have won with 11 other people, like, you know, people in an office.
Let's all chip in.
So he wins, in that case, he wins a $2 million share.
Yes.
Does he owe Bob $1 million?
It's a good question. Well, you're changing the terms of the entire thing.
No, but I'm asking, was it...
You and I, let's do it this way. You and I shook hands years ago when they introduced the Powerball to California.
Okay.
And I said, John, if I ever win this thing, I'm going to give you half. In Ireland, you say, if I ever win this thing, I'm going to give you half.
Okay.
Would you not then give half? Would you welch?
20 years later?
Yeah.
I think I have to pay under those circumstances.
Yes.
There were no
preconditions.
Yeah. But the other guy couldn't sue him. They really were on an honor system.
Totally on the honor system. Totally on the honor system. But I think it's a great story. It shows that there's something more important than money. And that's friendship, John.
It's
my moral lesson for the day.
I was going to say. You
friendship.
You don't have any friends that you were friends with 20 years ago. Come
a
on.
Deep and abiding friendship, John. That's what that's all about. All right.
While we're talking about all this, I'm watching Houston play Toronto in the bubble.
Yep.
Russell Westbrook looks insanely good.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous. Harden, not so much. But Westbrook, remember, who was out with COVID, is back, and he's playing like Russell Westbrook. The game's close. It's 41-40, but they have no answers for Russ. He's just doing whatever he wants. That's what makes Houston a huge wild card in this thing. You know, whenever he gets the ball, he either goes right to the basket, because they don't play with the center, so nobody clogs up the middle, or he finds a wide-open teammate. So I still think Houston – I don't want the Lakers to play Houston. I just don't.
It's possible, too, in that second round. Houston could settle into that 4-5.
Right. I would like to see them on the other side of the bracket.
I would, too.
I think they're a squirrel team. They could beat the Clippers. They could beat the Lakers. They're because they play so weird. You know, they don't play with anybody taller than 6'6".
This theory has never really been tested in a playoff situation.
Right. They shoot 53s, which is more than anybody in the league. They have Harden and Westbrook who could take over a game at any point. I want nothing to do with these Rockets. Daryl Morey's kind of a mad scientist who lets them do
whatever. Hey, let me ask
you
something. They're trying something weird here, and D'Antoni's certainly part of this too. Is this sort of their last hurrah, their last shot at it?
Well, and I think this would be a horrible mistake, but word is with guys who cover the league that if it doesn't work, Daryl and D'Antoni are out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I would never fire Daryl Morey.
Would never file. You know, if he survived the Hong Kong thing, you'd think he'd survive anything.
Right. But maybe they would want to try something. Now, Tillman Fertitta, their owner, is kind of a hard to project what he's going to do. Kind of a wild card. So maybe that's all BS and both those guys are coming back. But D'Antoni's in the last year of his deal. They haven't really said anything publicly about Daryl since Hong Kong. And I think there's a lot of pressure riding on both those guys.
So I want to ask you something weird. You know, there are unintended consequences to this pandemic. And I wonder if this isn't one of them. I envy you every time you go to play golf.
Yeah, I played today.
I'm like, why don't I pick up golf?
Okay.
Because it's a good way to get out of the house and to do something. I wonder if there are a whole bunch of people, because it's naturally social distance, because it's naturally you're outside and you're walking around and you're in nature and all that stuff, I wonder if this there's going to be a boom of golf. If when we get to 10 years from now, we're going to see golf having grown and say, oh yeah, it started during that pandemic.
Not only do I think you're right, I had to go to Roger Dunn the other day.
Yep.
Line out the door.
Yeah.
Because everybody's buying golf things. And it's also like if you were just to pick up golf and start playing, it'd be hard to get tee times because so many people want to play.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, I thought about the other day because Sue Kalinske's playing a lot of golf right now. She's my podcast partner. And she says, by the way, she's figured it out. And I said,
figured out golf? Good for
Sue. As soon as you say you figured it out.
Well, I play all the time and I haven't.
Yeah, no, Sue claims she figured it out. So she's playing really well. And by the way, when I say playing really well, it means she got a birdie.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
Yeah, it's I go many many days at a time without getting birdies.
Do you really?
Yeah, I hold it out from 80 yards today. I
hit. Oh, get out of here!
Which is like a half a hole in one.
That's like that Brady shot, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was almost the exact same distance.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive. All right, we've got Game of Games coming up for you, and coming up next, I want to introduce you to some LeBron stuff that he talked about yesterday after the scrimmage, and let's react a little bit to what we saw as the Lakers played the Dallas Mavericks in a scrimmage. And by the way, we've got another scrimmage coming for you tomorrow. It'll be on the air here on 710 ESPN. It's Breakfast with Ireland and MT. 8:45 is tip-off of the scrimmage with the Orlando Magic. That's tomorrow. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, got a Clayton Kershaw update for you. You know he was scratched last night in his opening day start for the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw says today he made a lot of progress. It's not too serious, he says, in quotes. It's getting better pretty quick. Kershaw played catch today to 90 feet, said there's no timeline to return, but he's optimistic of a quick return. Said he was injured doing the same exercises he's done the last year and a half. So that's the latest on Clayton Kershaw. And there's some speculation that if things go well and he progresses the right way, he could pitch for the Dodgers as soon as next weekend in Arizona. And Dodgers are at it again tonight. Ross Stripling on the mound for the Dodgers. Mookie Betts in the leadoff spot versus Tyler Anderson and the Giants. That game is 6:40 on Sportsnet LA.
All right, so Mace, in case you were wondering, you remember we were telling that story about Reggie Jackson sticking
yes.
his tip out and Tommy Lasorda was mic'd. You always see baseball umpires yelling or baseball managers yelling at umpires. Do you know that during the pandemic, they're not allowed to approach the umps?
Yeah.
They cannot yell at them, so you will never see what I'm about to play. This is 30 seconds of a two-minute rant. I don't know how well this will play or how good you can hear it, but we'll try it. This is Tommy Lasorda. If you go back and watch this, Reggie Jackson, and this was a World Series in 77 that the Dodgers lost.
Yeah.
And the Yankees actually scored a run on this play. Reggie Jackson throws his hip out. Ball goes off his hip, goes into the dugout. Yankees score a run. And Tommy Lasorda, if you're ever wondering what managers sound like when they're going at it with the ump, here's the last 30 seconds of Tommy screaming at the umpires that Reggie Jackson threw out his hip. I don't know. Could you follow that?
A little bit. I heard a crazy, slightly overweight guy yelling at a
and he had a big chunk
guy.
Of chewing tobacco in too. So he was just like in the pandemic, it would be horrifying. But you can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
if you're an umpire now, you're not allowed, or you're a manager, you're not allowed to approach the umpire. There is no spitting and no arguing. Those are part of the new rules of the 2020 baseball season.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to come charging out of the dugout with a complaint anymore. Social distance. You got to yell from 6 feet away. all right, so yesterday, LeBron, Lakers had a scrimmage. They played Dallas. They wound up losing that game. Who cares? LeBron played the first half. So did Anthony Davis. And here's LeBron asked on what his focus was for yesterday's scrimmage.
Well, first of all, you know, I want to continue to shed light on you know, justice for Breonna Taylor and to her family and everything that's going on with that situation. To answer your question, we want to just try to get better. We use this moment as a training camp to continue to implement our identity. Our identity is to defend, share the ball, push the tempo, and play together. So I think we was able to accomplish that to as close as 40 minutes as possible.
And here he is about the team's energy without fans in the arena.
The same energy that we have on the floor is the same energy that we have towards having justice for Breonna Taylor and her family. And, you know, that's the energy that we bring to the game. And that's just who we are. We got a close-knit group. We have a lot of togetherness, a lot of brotherhood with this franchise. And we care for one another, not only on the floor, but off the floor as well. So you got to create your own energy here. We understand that. There's no fans. Our wonderful fans is watching this game on the TVs, on the, you know, laptops, phones, iPads, whatever the case may be. So, you know, it's about us creating our own energy, continue to make a you know, understanding, you know, what we're here for, and that's to get better. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that message is coming through loud and clear. Justice for Breonna Taylor. The NBA players, including LeBron, are raising that issue, and, you know, we're doing our best to amplify it. There should be some action taken. After the tragic death of Breonna Taylor in Louisville.
And you're going to keep hearing her name and her story throughout the bubble, I think. I think players aren't going to drop it until the circumstances in Louisville change.
I completely agree.
I think that it's too important to them.
I wanted to get this in the I don't think I have it now. Skip that. Let's go to John. I made it clear that I hate the new playoff system in baseball.
Yeah.
Hate it. Here's Rob Manfred. I've got very, very mixed emotions about Rob Manfred. I tend to think he's a failure as a commissioner. Here he is explaining how this new playoff format is going to work.
It's going to be eight teams from each league, the three division winners, the three second place teams, and then the next two teams with the best record. There will be no first round byes. It'll be just pure seeding, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7. The advantage to winning the division is all three games in each series, and they'll be played at home, all at the site of the club with the higher ranking.
So, for me, the season is already filled with randomness because it's only 60 games.
Right.
Now, you're letting 16 teams into the playoffs, and the entire first round, three-game series. So the Dodgers, let's say, will have a three-game series. I'm trying to think of a team that's potentially going to be the eight. Dodgers will have a three-game series against the Mets. They could be the eight seed.
Okay.
That means they would face Jake DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard. It's easy to lose a three-game series. And it would be bad for baseball if the Dodgers and or the Yankees didn't make it to the divisional round because they lost a three-game series.
All right, a couple of thoughts. I agree with you. Three-game series are too short. They should have made it best 3 out of 5. Apparently, they didn't want to push games into November, so that's why they didn't do it. I do think having all three games at Dodger Stadium in that scenario is a pretty big advantage for the Dodgers.
Is it with no fans?
Well, because you don't have to travel.
Right.
You know, one thing they could do, to address your concern.
Yep.
Is say that the Dodgers, if you want to limit it to three games, the Dodgers would only have to beat the Mets once, and the Mets would have to beat the Dodgers twice. That it's kind of like a double elimination format that way. And the advantage then of winning the division or of being the one seed is that you get a huge kiss. You get all three games at home and you only need to win one. So in other words, the Mets would have a chance, but they'd have to win two out of three at Dodger Stadium. So the Dodgers would really have to choke it. What do you think?
And
of that
I want to point out too, Noah Syndergaard is on the injured list, had Tommy John surgery, is gone until 2021. So the second starter would be Jake DeGrom, Marcus Stroman, Steven Matz. Those were the pitchers.
But what do you think of my idea? In other words, would that make it a little more palatable to you if a best three out of five is a non-starter? They say you can't do that because you don't run in November. How about three-game series? Dodgers advance if they win once. Mets advance if they win twice.
Yes. So, in other words, this is what the KBO does.
Right.
They do a three-game series, but the better team starts up 1-0 in the series.
That's what I'm suggesting. I think that would help.
Oh, I think that would help. That's a huge advantage.
Although in the 4-5, it is like you could have a one game better record and you'd be given the same advantage. So, but it would make the pennant races more interesting, wouldn't it?
So I look at this two ways. First of all, as a Dodger fan, I think we've got the best team in the National League, and I want to eliminate as much randomness as possible because it is the most random of seasons. Over 162 games, give me the Dodgers in the West by 20. 60 games, I don't know where they're going to wind up. I think they'll win the division, but I don't think it'll be a blowout. They could be the number one seed, but then they could get knocked out in a three-game series. Whereas I think that during a regular baseball season, with the standard rules, you're eliminating that randomness. And I would hope, so that's as a Dodger fan. As a baseball fan, I think it's just going to be a melee of good baseball. I totally get it. Having these three-game series are going to be really dramatic, and it's going to add to playoff revenue and attention.
They're going to make a bunch of money, Okay. Hey, I want to talk to you about Game of Games, which is coming up next.
Okay.
How many games am I ahead of you right now?
One.
That's it, huh?
It's Ireland 5, Lindsay 4, Mason 4, BCAM as a guest host 1, and Funch Day 1 once.
What I was going to suggest is if you trail by two or more games, you could invoke the other guy has to do the game.
Ah.
But should we do that if you're just behind? In other words, since you're behind, I have 5 and you have 4, you can invoke, Ireland, you have to do the game that gives you a chance to catch up, but then it goes back to you do the next one the next time, even if you don't win.
Once a week you can invoke it?
Yeah, but does it need to be a two-game difference or is one game difference enough?
I think one game difference is enough.
All right, so I have a game, and since you're behind, you can invoke it, and you should because it's the last day of the week.
Right. Okay. I have a game, but I am going to invoke it.
We'll call it privilege. You're invoking privilege.
Yep.
That way you can, if you win this game, catch me.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm all for it.
Okay. So when
game
we come
of games.
Back, game of games. I will do the game. It'll be you, Adam, Funch.
Yep.
Okay.
Funch day. All right, that's coming up next for you. Game of Games, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games. It's time, people. We go to war every day at this time to see who is the Game of Games champion for the month. Right now, Ireland has won five games in July. Lindsay and I have each won 4. Brian Kamenetsky is a guest host, has won once, and Funch has won once. Today, Adam Bronstein gets to play with Funch and me. Funch Day. We'll see if today is Funch's day. I'm invoking privilege, which means it's John's game because I'm trailing him.
Okay, so here we go. This is a game called Where Have They Been?
Where Have They Been?
All right. I'll give you guys a player who has played for multiple teams and ask you to name some of those. Your name is your buzzer.
How many?
Okay, I'm gonna. You'll see. It'll be okay. Involved in each question. Your name is your buzzer. But if you buzz in and miss, your opponent gets to use your previous answers. So be careful about buzzing in too soon or you may hand it to your opponent.
Right, right.
All right, here we go. Your name is your buzzer. Buzz in anytime. New Lakers guard J.R. Smith has played for 5 NBA teams besides the Lakers. Name 3 other teams.
Funch. New York Knicks.
1.
Cavs.
2.
And Denver Nuggets.
3. Funch is on the board.
This is Funch's kind of game. It is going to be Funch day.
Not necessarily, because it's not always a basketball player.
Oh, okay.
For example, Dodgers pitcher David Price has played for 5 MLB teams. Besides the Dodgers, name 3 other
Bronny.
Teams. Bronstein.
Boston. Red
That's
Sox.
One. 3.
Texas Rangers.
No, you're out.
Ah.
Mace or Funch.
We need 3 of them?
Yeah, and you got one. He handed you Boston. You want to try it? Mace, buzz in if you want to try it.
Mason.
Mace. So you need 2 more, Mace. Besides the Dodgers and the Red Sox, there are 3 other teams Price has pitched for.
Tampa.
That's one. You only need 1 more, and there are 2.
And Boston.
No, you have Boston, Tampa, and you need 1
more.
Oh,
I need 1 more.
Besides the Dodgers.
This is such a random guess. I don't know. I'm going to say it's the Yankees.
No. Funch, you want to give it a shot?
Yes, I will. Boston, Tampa, obviously, and yeah. Astros?
No, the other two were Detroit
and
Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah. It was in order. He played for Tampa Bay, Detroit, Toronto,
That's
Boston,
right.
and the Dodgers. Okay. 38-year-old Rams tackle Andrew Whitworth has played for only 1 other NFL team.
Bronny.
Bronny.
Bengals.
Correct, and Bronstein's
Damn
on
it,
the board.
I had that.
All right, Bronstein won, Funch just won. All right. Angels infielder Tommy La Stella has played for 3 MLB teams. Besides the Angels, name 1 other team.
Mason.
Mace.
Cubs.
Cubs is correct, and it's all tied 1 game apiece. Very good. All right. 4 down, 3 to go, and, of course, there is a tiebreaker. Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor has played for 4 NFL teams. Besides the Chargers, name 2 other ones Taylor has played for.
Mason.
Mace.
Buffalo.
That's 1.
And San Francisco?
No, you're
Funch,
out.
Funch. Baltimore.
Buffalo and Baltimore. And Michael Funch just takes the lead.
Woo!
Here is the lineage for Taylor. Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland, Chargers. All right. Funch only needs 1 more to lock it up. There are 2 left, plus a tiebreaker. Clippers guard Lou Williams has played for 6 NBA teams. Besides the Clippers, name 3 other teams.
Bronny. Lakers.
1.
Atlanta Hawks.
2.
Need
1 more.
Toronto Raptors.
Correct!
Oh! Wow.
Lou Williams in order. Philly, Atlanta, Toronto, Lakers, Houston, Clippers. All right, Mace, you need this one to stay in the game.
I need this one to tie, right?
Yeah, but then it would send it to the tiebreaker.
Okay.
All right, if Bronny or Funch gets it, it's over. And if nobody gets it, Bronny and Funch go to a tiebreaker. Here it is. Lakers center JaVale McGee has played for 6
Mason.
NBA teams. Mace, you need to name 2 others.
Golden State.
Correct.
And Denver?
Yes, baby!
Oh, my God. It's a gimme for him.
All right. So that means it's 2-2, and it all comes down to this.
Whew.
Bronstein 2. Funches 2. Mason 2. All right. This player has played for 6 NBA teams. Besides the Lakers, name 4. The player is Dwight Howard.
Funch.
Funch.
Houston.
One.
Orlando.
Two.
Washington Wizards.
Three. Need one more.
Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah!
Yes! Pulled
Funch
it. Pulled
day!
It.
Funch's day. Funch day.
Woo! Oh, it's Funch day. That makes me happy. I'm happy. Funch.
Funch, you almost gacked it.
I know, the last team.
You almost had Trudell going to the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, very close. Very close. Good job, Funch.
And for Mason?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, you guys all played that game well. It came down to the tiebreaker.
God, where did you pull Tommy La Stella?
I was looking for an angel, and so when I was writing the game, I had to have – there aren't a lot of angels who have played on multiple teams.
Okay, yeah. Tommy La Stella was Cardinals and Cubs, I think.
Yep.
And just a reminder, guys, the last week is next week for this month.
Oh, next week is the last week of July. It all comes down to next week.
Wow.
It is going to be a thrilling finish.
And Lindsay's out for most of the week.
Lindsay does, right? Lindsay's handicapped.
It may come down to a Mason Ireland shootout.
Yeah, Lindsay doesn't come back till Thursday.
Unless it's going to be Funch Day every day.
Yeah, it could be.
Unless Funch really starts rolling.
Could run it off.
Well, Funch, if you ran the table, you'd win it.
Yeah.
You'd win the month.
All right, you ready to do this thing? Let's do it. I say let's do it.
You want to give away the Laker thing?
Yeah, we're celebrating Lakers Fan Friday.
Okay, cool.
Right now, load up the phones, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN, for a Lakers prize pack, which includes a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars. They're really cool. Exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30 against the Clippers, and an $85 gift card to Pizza Hut. 877-710-ESPN. It is all brought to you by Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut's kitchen safely open and serving large pizzas with three toppings for $9.99. Order for delivery or carry out at pizzahut.com. We will play the game next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And we got us some real games going on. Real games. Yesterday, Lakers had a scrimmage against Dallas. They looked really good. Looked like they picked up exactly where they left off. Little Deion Waiters action in there, too. Looks like Deion is going to contribute to this team. Dodgers blew out the Giants. They're 1-0, or in the shortened season, it's essentially 3-0. And tonight, it'll be Tyler Anderson for the San Francisco Giants versus Chicken Strip. Ross Stripling for the Dodgers. And that game is 6:40 Pacific time on Sportsnet LA. A's Angels happens here on 710 ESPN at 6:30. Frankie Montas for the A's versus Andrew Heaney for the Angels. And we've got one of these Laker prize packages, which are incredibly cool. They include an $85 gift card to Pizza Hut, exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30 against the Clippers, a collectible figurine, limited edition, from Small Stars, and a Lakers jersey, all that stuff brought to you by Pizza Hut. And this is a closest without going over game. Closest without going over, John. You ready?
Yep.
The all-time leader in career triple-doubles for the Lakers is Magic Johnson with 138. Elgin Baylor is second. How many did he have?
All right, Warren from Montebello gets the first shot at it. Hey, Warren, how many triple-doubles for Elgin Baylor?
I'm going to go with 100.
Okay. 100. Thanks for that. Kurt in Whittier. Kurt, how many triple-doubles for Elgin? Kurt, are you there? Going once? Going twice?
Hey, this is Bert. Sorry.
Bert. Okay, Bert.
Like, oh, who's Kurt? I'm going to say, he said 100. I'm going to say 115.
115. Okay, that's a good guess. Ruben in Glendora. Ruben.
99.
Ruben says 99.
Didn't you say closest without going over, Mace?
Closest without going over is what
Ruben,
I said, yes.
Ruben just boxed himself in.
He did, actually.
Here's Geronimo in Alhambra. Hey, Geronimo. Geronimo, you there? Going once. Going twice. Gone.
Here's, no Geronimo.
Here's Justin in Pasadena. Hey, Justin.
Hey.
How many triple doubles for Elgin Baylor?
87.
How many?
87.
87.
Okay. And the last one, Parth from Minneapolis.
Wow.
Hey, Parth.
Hey, big fan.
All right, how many?
Let's go with 70.
Okay, Mace, what is the answer?
Everybody has gone over.
Even so, it's under the number 70.
Under the number 70. Okay. Everybody's gone pretty significantly over.
Okay, so we're going back to the drawing board. Warren, it's under 70. How many?
I'm going to go with 50.
Okay. Let's go
Bert.
Bert.
65.
Okay. Okay, so Warren said 50. Bert said 65. Ruben.
53.
All right, Justin. Justin, how many?
Let's go with 43.
Parth, how many?
I'll just go with 15. Okay.
All right. Mace, is someone in the ballpark?
Our winner is Parth at 15. Elgin Baylor second on the all-time list for Lakers in triple-doubles with just 24. So Magic Johnson, 138, Elgin Baylor, 24, Kobe, 21, LeBron, 21, and Powell, 5. Those are your top five in triple-doubles.
So LeBron will zoom by him soon.
Yes,
but
he will.
Right now, Elgin had how many did you say?
24.
All right, Parth, you're the winner, man. We'll send all that stuff to Minnesota, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Hang on the line. Adam will get your info. All right, so, man, tonight I'm in store for a great night. Friday night is my video poker night.
Oh, yeah.
And so for the first time, I can play video poker and watch a Dodger game at the same time.
Wow.
And then I have to get up early tomorrow and go do the Laker game.
It's a fantastic weekend because Sunday night, finally, I get my fantasy baseball draft.
Oh, please.
We're doing it for real.
What, the season already started.
It's the first weekend. It's the first weekend. So Sunday is our fantasy baseball draft. It is the Shaky League. You know Mike Robin.
Yep.
The Uber producer of television, all kinds of stuff, Nip Tuck and All Rise and all those shows.
Yeah. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to bet a ton of money on Trout.
Yep.
Everybody's going to spend a ton of money on bets.
Yep.
Did you watch any of the Yankees-Nationals game last night?
Yes.
Take Giancarlo Stanton, man.
He looks great.
He's, like, lost 30 pounds. He looks fantastic. He looks like the guy that was winning MVPs for the Marlins.
Although, let me tell you something. The guy you saw last night, the guy I think is going to win MVP in the American League, is Gleyber Torres, who I think is an absolute monster.
Well, what's interesting about him is, you know, he's going to be their everyday shortstop.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Didi Gregorius went to the Phillies. So Torres, who came up in their system as a shortstop, is going to move back to short, and he'll be there, you know, for as long as he's healthy, he'll be starting at short.
Yeah, I've got Gleyber Torres winning Most Valuable Player in the American League, and I've got Ronald Acuna Jr. winning MVP in the National League. He's another one that is an unbelievable player.
Yeah, look out for Stanton, man. He looks to me, if he can stay, but the problem is he may not stay healthy. I mean, he's been hurt so much that, did you see that Yonis Cespedes hit a home run for the Mets today?
Yeah, that was the only run scored.
Yeah, and by the way, I think that's, you know, remember he's bounced around since he played for the Mets once before. I think that's the first home run he sits for the Mets in like 15 years. I'd have to look it up, but it's been a long time.
Well, remember, he stepped in a hole on his property and broke his ankle.
Yeah, broke.
Did he break both ankles?
I want to say he did. I think.
I want to say he broke both ankles, which is really tough to do.
Freakish thing. Oh, by the way, Sliwa is not with us tonight because he has no show because Mason and I are leading you up to the Angels game at 6:30.
Yeah, but he did want to pass along this.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
He brings that electric energy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I regret that we can't play the Sliwa at Sunset music anymore. Who decided that?
Sliwa.
Sliwa decided no more Sliwa at Sunset?
Yeah. Nobody told me, so that's why I played it.
I didn't realize Sliwa made that.
Well, he wanted to be more businesslike, I think.
Well, God, he's got that down pat. No, he does business like
well. All right,
well.
Hey, let me ask you a weird question.
Okay, good. Yeah, I love this.
All right. So for people who've listened to the show for a long time, I've admitted many times that you could say I threw away my presidential vote in the last election because in 2016, because I voted for Ohio Governor John Kasich.
Was he on the ballot?
He was, and I voted for him because I didn't want to vote for the other two. I just
in the primary.
No, in the general.
He wasn't on the ballot in the general.
He was. I don't know why, but he was on the ballot in the general. He probably just hadn't dropped out yet. But the other day, it was announced that Kasich, who's a lifelong Republican, will speak at the Democratic convention this year.
Yeah.
On behalf of Joe Biden. Now, I can't remember this ever happening before, a member of the other party speaking at the competing party's convention, but it got me to thinking. I don't think it would ever happen. But if you were invited to appear on a competing network, let's say they ask you to go on Lunch with Fred or to appear on the Chargers pregame show, would you do it?
Am I granted permission or am I just busting in?
No. You're granted permission, but it's up to you.
I will go on any of those shows.
Yeah, I would too. I mean,
that's about exposure and brand and being part of stuff. Like, I would have no issue with going on any show. In fact, a lot of people request that I go on their podcasts. I try to go on as many podcasts as I can.
Yeah.
You can always DM me at Venice Mace, or you can go to stevemason.com and use a contact form. I do a whole bunch of podcasts, and a lot of them are startups and people are just getting going with it. And I love being able to help. I will go on any show, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, I would too. I know they would never ask, but the reason is I think that I can't remember which one of the late night hosts did this, but on his first show, it might have been Colbert. On his first show, he had all of the other late night show hosts
come on,
and it was pretty funny. I think people appreciated the crossing of the streams.
Well, and I think people are, in our business, there's this idea that somehow, we're at war with AM 570 and the truth.
Well, we are at war. You and I are at war with Colin because he picked the Clippers to win the title.
He thinks the Clippers are a lot better than the Lakers.
Yes.
That's his direct quote, a lot better.
And he's picking Kawhi to win MVP, and he's all in with Chuck the Duck.
But the reality is it's just one great big fraternity.
And everybody eventually works with everybody.
Everybody. I mean, we've all been. I mean, Scott Kaplan came in here last week. Scott, the craziest thing is, Scott took over WNEW in New York the Monday after I left.
Right.
So he was in New York City with Sid and took my spot. Then we ended up on the same station, 1090, down in San Diego. Kaplan was actually a producer for Sedano at some point down in Florida. It's like there's like 11 people in the business, and we all just keep shifting chairs. And by the way, you know how long we've been on this station?
This particular one?
14. Yeah.
Well, we came over in 2004. I left for
16 years.
Yeah, you've been continuously. I left for 6 months.
Well, those 6 months don't even count.
Well, if they don't, then it's been since 2004.
Yeah, 16 years is crazy.
In radio, it's almost unheard of.
In radio, that's an incredibly rare thing. Mason. Incredibly rare thing. Yeah, yes, there was the
there
solo
was 6 months of Mason.
Yeah.
But the...
hell of a show, very underrated. People still talk about it.
Ireland.
Yeah, there's never been in Ireland, but I did get paid for all 6 months I was out, which was the greatest 6 months of my career.
It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing. It's called being on the beach. You were on the beach.
Oh, I got what you
just
said.
Just cashing checks.
You said is the dream. I got the big cushy buyout.
Big cushy buyout. Yep. It was a hell of a deal. Yep.
Some people dream to be, to be syndicated and go national. And I just wanted the BCB, the big cushy buyout. And
big cushy buyout.
I lived the dream for 6 months.
I don't know. I've never had sex with a bot.
What? Just it's random sound day.
You know
yes,
what?
It is.
You know what? I've never had sex with a bot yet. You left out a very important word, yet. I haven't given up that dream.
Do you know that the bots are now talking?
Like
the sex bots.
What was that movie with Joaquin Phoenix? Her?
Her. Yeah, except this is she was in a computer, like she was online. This is a sex bot can actually talk to you. You can program it using AI, and they have now filmed sex bots holding a conversation with a human interviewer and giving very coherent responses. Now, does that change your opinion of synthetic companionship?
No, I'm not in need of synthetic companionship. Again, I'll use the word yet.
There's a doll, a sex pot, a sex bot named Harmony that was created by the U.S. company Real Doll. Harmony has a Scottish accent.
Excellent.
You can actually schedule. You can program an accent into your sex bot.
So she sounds like Sean Connery.
She sounds like Sean Connery, exactly.
I was trying to. I was watching. Has there been a more successful long-term franchise than Bond? Even though there's been like five different Bonds, I was watching a movie the other day, and it occurred to me. I didn't think I'd ever seen it before. I think there've been 30 Bond movies.
Which Bond?
Die Another Day.
Is that the one with the Duran theme song?
Halle Berry. No, the one with the Duran theme song is A View to a Kill.
This is a Madonna theme song.
Yeah, Madonna theme song, and she does a cameo, an uncredited cameo in the movie.
Is this Pierce Brosnan's last one?
Could be.
Yeah, with who?
It's with that one, Mace. It's with that woman from Gone Girl who's just ridiculously good looking. Yeah. She's one of the...
Denise Richards is in it, too?
No. Denise Richards is in a different one. But in Die Another Day is Halle Berry and Rosamund Pike. But it just made me think of it. Hey, do I have time to get something in? Yeah, we do. We got a minute here, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to do a shout out to the Chargers. The Chargers.
They announced, on the Rams station?
Yes. And here's why.
Okay.
They announced this week that they're starting a Spanish language game broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I read this. I'm excited.
And the announcers are Adrian Garcia Marquez and Francisco Pinto.
Yes!
Who I traveled with. They worked together on the Laker broadcast for 7 years. They are great guys. They're great on the air. Francisco's still working for the Lakers, but in football season, he's going to do the Charger games with Adrian. So shout out to my boys in Espanol, Adrian and Francisco. The Chargers announced this week that they've hired those guys to do Spanish language, and they are both excellent. Muy bueno. They are both very, very good.
Voy a escucharlos.
Whatever that means. Season. Yo también.
I'm going to listen to them this season.
All right, excellent.
All right, coming up next for you, it is our Karen of the day.
Oh, that's right. We almost forgot.
Yeah, we almost forgot our Karen of the day, but there are so many great Karens out there. We thought we would bring you another one next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening all during this this quarantine period. We appreciate it, and I know things are still not back to normal, but sports is getting back to normal. Giants versus Dodgers again tonight at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers off to a 1-0 start. It's Ross Stripling on the mound versus Tyler Anderson. Mookie Betts in the leadoff spot for the Dodgers. We got Angels baseball coming up for you at the bottom of the hour. Frankie Montez for the A's versus Andrew Heaney for the Angels. Mike Trout electing to play. We'll get to see Anthony Rendon in the lineup with Mike Trout for the very first time. And, of course, the Lakers had their first scrimmage yesterday. They have another scrimmage tomorrow morning. It is breakfast with John and MT.
All right,
I'm gonna wake up early. I'm going to have Juan's going to bring me breakfast on my little tray while I'm watching the game.
You will be getting no breakfast tray. Now, Mace.
Yes.
Game going on right now in Cleveland.
Yeah, I just switched it on.
Okay, between the Royals and the Indians.
Yep.
Shane Bieber, the pitcher for the Indians, has pitched 6 complete innings. He has not allowed a run. He has 14 strikeouts.
Yeah.
The all-time major league record is 20, right?
Right.
So he has 9 more outs to get, and if 6 of the 9 are strikeouts, he would tie the all-time record. He's at 97 pitches. You leave him in?
Nope.
You think?
I shouldn't say that. I should say, with every pitcher right now in Major League Baseball, there is a pitch count that has been assigned. Now, I can't imagine Shane Bieber in the very first game of the year, his pitch count being much higher than 97. I would predict that he's done right
and
now.
And by the way, let's say he strikes out the side in the seventh.
Right.
So he's at 17 strikeouts, and he would have 6 outs left. Then it's even harder to take him out. They should take him out now.
Yeah, I don't think he throws past 97 pitches, but we'll see. He's throwing a friggin' unbelievable game. That Tribe rotation is really, really good.
4-hitter. Indians are leading 2-0. 2 outs in the bottom of the 6th. We'll see if he comes out to pitch the top of the 7th.
Now, we promised Karen. And Lindsay's not here today to describe what a Karen is, but it's a very self-entitled, middle-aged woman who is looking for an argument. I think that's essentially it.
And she would always say is usually white.
And is usually white. That is correct.
Usually, yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, here is today's Karen.
We're allowed to drive wherever we want. How fast are we going?
I don't care how fast you were going. Stop driving by my house with that piece of
Yeah, guess what? Right. I could buy 10 of these.
This
truck.
I bet you live in a hole too.
Are you serious right now?
Get out of my sight. Get out of my sight.
What is wrong with this woman?
Barry, get these two away from my.
What's wrong with this woman?
Well, there's going to be hell to pay. I'm telling you right now, Barry. Right.
Do you know the police already came and talked
I
to him?
Don't care.
Dude, you need to get a life. In the midst of a pandemic and racial injustice, you're complaining about a truck. You're complaining about a pickup truck. Lady, you don't roll the streets. I'm sorry to tell you. Wear a mask. If you're going to yell at us. Put a mask on if you're going to yell at us. Listen to her right now.
What is Barry?
She already called the police on us. And she followed us to yell at us. Did you see the way she pulled up and skidded? Lady, look at your skid marks in the parking lot. Who's the reckless one? I'm going to send this to the police. What did you just do? What did you just do?
Get it.
All right, she's going to get violent?
Barry, if you don't do it.
What are you going to do?
Who's
Barry?
What
are you going to do?
Barry, do something.
What are you going to do?
Barry's the husband, I think.
What to do?
I've lived here 25 years.
I don't care. I don't care. Literally.
Did you own that house, that small house? Who was it that owned that small house next to your father's house across the street?
You don't even know me. I don't even live around here. You don't even know me. You don't know me.
I don't know you.
You don't know me.
I know you with him.
You don't know him either. He's a nice kid.
Stop driving by my house.
Stop driving by your house.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you are embarrassing.
That's the direct way to go to the marina.
All right, there you have it. There is today's
Karen.
All right,
Karen. Wait a minute. I need a little context there, Adam. Who is Barry?
I think it was a neighbor who was like happened to be in the area. It's like
because she kept saying Barry, do something.
Yeah, I thought Barry might be her husband.
Yeah, maybe,
I don't care.
I think if Barry was her husband, he was trying to tell her to like.
I think Barry was the husband.
Maybe.
And she was just complaining about him not doing anything.
You never see Barry
about
in the
that
video.
Truck
you never see
he
Barry.
Doesn't care. Yeah, I don't know what's gotten into the middle-aged white women.
And don't these people know that everybody's got a phone in their pocket?
Well, right away, they're talking to the camera. That's the thing. Somebody starts the camera, and then the woman just gets wound up and keeps going. And by the way, we should find next week. There are Karens, and then there are Kens, which are just male Karens. So,
also known as Chads as well.
Oh, also known as Chads?
Yeah, Chads.
Okay, so next week we should be fair and find a couple of Chads for the show. just so we don't lay it all on Karen and poor people who happen to have that name.
Wow, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was good. So we should mention, too, that Zion Williamson has officially reached the NBA bubble.
I was thinking about something. Is Zion now the number one stop-what-you're-doing player in the league? Is he past Giannis and LeBron because of the fact that people don't know what he's capable of yet? Or would you rank him below them?
In terms of stop what you're doing?
Yeah, like you walk in and there's three TVs. Zion's on one, LeBron's on the other, Giannis is on the third one. Which one are you watching?
You know, I think I probably watch Zion only because he's the new thing. Like, I know LeBron is going to be fantastic. LeBron is going to be LeBron. And I've come to expect just a level of unbelievable excellence that you only get from him. Giannis is really fun to watch, but Zion, because he's the new thing, and because you don't quite know what he's capable of or
right.
what he might do, and there's something about his body size, he's such a force down low. So I would say Giannis is probably that guy.
Or Zion is probably that guy. What's interesting is that he doesn't really lead his team in anything.
Right.
Doesn't lead him in scoring or rebounding or assists. Those are all
things. Well, he's only played in, 20 games?
Right. Isn't that crazy that he's been able to generate that kind of buzz in 20 games and we're comparing him to the two MVP candidates in the league?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a huge difference, right? We don't know. Zion has already dealt with injury, so we don't know exactly what his injury history is going to turn out to be.
Yeah, that's one thing LeBron doesn't get enough credit for is his durability and his availability. He's always there at the end.
All right, so it's over. It's 6:24. John,
excellent.
Tomorrow morning, you, Michael Thompson, 8:45, Lakers scrimmage versus Orlando. Alan Sliwa is going to do pregame and postgame. That's tomorrow right here on 710 ESPN. We're back Monday at 2:55 sharp with all kinds of stuff, man. We got games all over the place. And coming up next for you is Angels baseball. It is the Angels in their opener versus the Oakland A's. Frankie Montas for the A's versus Andrew Heaney for the Angels. 6:24. Well, we came close to hitting the door at 6:24. Let's call it 6:25. We will see you guys on Monday. Thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.